Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio. I am your host and guide, Jojopa Maria Nsoroma. And the month of June has been a water month. And what cannot take us to our next step will be resolved, dissolved, and released, whether we like it or not. And I'm sure for many of us that has been the experience of this month. And so tonight, I'm concluding my three-part series on the theme of the road to divine love. And I'll be sharing wisdom and insights in this part on outgrowing attachment for divine love. Now, for those of you who may be listening in for the very first time, let me give you a brief overview of this program. Wisdom Walk is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support listeners with learning how to recognize and release any pain that is blocking fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, which would be 5 p.m. Pacific time, I broadcast live. And in addition to listening through your computer or other gadgets that access the internet, you may listen to the live broadcast and or call into the show at area code 563-999-3089. Again, that's 563-999-3089. Also, the web link provided on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio, and a constant contact email serves as the archive link. So if for some reason you're not able to listen to the show in its entirety live, you can listen later or at any time that works for you. But right now, I invite you to sit or lay back and join me for an exploration of the where you can connect to your soul and discover the true treasure of being human. Now, every week on Wisdom Walk, I always like to start off by honoring the ancestors. Those are the persons whose shoulders we're standing upon, the persons for whom we are beholding to for where we are today. And of course, I'm not just talking about those ancestors who gifted us with love and support, but also the ones who may have disappointed us, neglected us, or physically harmed us. And the reason why is because our souls grow as a result of both the good and the bad. And so tonight, I want to share how very, very outraged and upset I am about what is happening to children who migrate into this country or who were born into this country from Mexico and Central America. And through these current policies of the U.S. government, are being taken apart, ripped apart from their families. And it's just so tragic that this is happening in a country that's supposed to be the land of the free, the home of the brave, a country that was settled by people coming from other countries. And so for there to be so much hostility against persons who are doing what all of us have done, thinking that that's going to be taking jobs away. And, of course, the big issue nobody wants to talk about is even if there were jobs, more jobs for people to do, there's such an opioid epidemic in this culture, along with mental illness, that I don't know if people, if there would be enough people to do the kind of work that we have, what we call migrant workers doing. So we really, really need some ancestor help on this because it is just shameful. It makes my heart hurt that in the United States there are children being warehoused in a Walmart in Texas and God knows where else this is going on. So I want to call on all those ancestors who are really believers, who are really, really believers and what this country is really supposed to stand for. And those ancestors who took steps and took actions to really stand by those beliefs, because that's what we need help with now. We need people who are going to really be able, who are in positions of power and in situations where their decision-making power can make a difference. We need them to really step up to the plate and address this issue now. Not tomorrow, not next year, not next week. We need it done now. So I just want you to think about those ancestors, whether you were blood related to them or not, people that you can think of who had that kind of courage and chutzpah that when they saw an injustice, they spoke about it, they did something about it, they encouraged others to do something about it. Because we're going to call on them right now for the help that is needed in this country and for these innocent children who haven't done anything but, you know, following what we all follow, which is called the American dream. So ancestors, 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 we are calling out to you and we are asking you those of you who are believers in what this country really is supposed to stand for, that this country is supposed to be a haven of safety, of inclusivity, of plurality, for people from all walks of life, and especially people who find where they are living is not supportive enough of their dreams and their hopes and their wishes for life. And so, ancestors, help us, help us, help us, those of us who can make a difference, those of us who can speak out, those of us who can take on a stance or make a decision that is going to have an impact to make sure that this shameful piece of our history comes to an immediate end. And so we're calling on you and we're thanking you for your love, your guidance, your wisdom, because we can't do this alone. We need the help. We need the help. We need the help. And so we're thanking you, thanking you, thanking you for being available for us to call on at this time. And Creator, of course, we are asking and thanking you to help us. Thank you for giving us access to our ancestors to also help us. And Creator, we ask for all of this. And we ask, of course, prayers for these children and these families going through such a very horrific experience at this time. Please bless them. And again, give people the courage required to make sure that this stops and never happens again. And so thank you for all of this. In the name of all that is holy, I say amen. So it is. And so it is. Wow. Here we are in this nature year, this year of radical beginnings, endings, and magical change. Well, we need some magical change to show up right now with that situation. And it's just very, very not okay. And, of course, there are many things going on in this country. I could go down a list, but this is the one that right now is really heavy, heavy, heavy on my heart. So I'm going to take you now into some of the elemental wisdom for the week coming up, starting tomorrow, Monday, the 18th, and this will extend until Sunday, the 24th. We are entering into a nature week. So a nature week and a nature year, and of course we're in a water month, the water month of June. And the opportunity for this week is about welcoming change. It's about being courageous. It's about opening the door fully to the new transformative challenges and learnings which the universe is providing in answer to and in support of your prayers, intentions, goals, and annual commitments. It's about receiving the power of love and the supportive and playful energy of the nature element to experience the more of who you are. Now, distractions that can show up this week to sabotage you out of welcoming change and being courageous about that are addictive behaviors in whatever form they take, whether that's drugs and alcohol, indiscriminate sexual activity, overworking, overshopping, overeating, overuse of Facebook and other social media tools and apparatus. Just be on the lookout when you're being pulled into behaviors where you're trying to sedate something that you need to face. Being judgmental of yourself and others is another distraction for welcoming change. And taking yourself and other people or things too seriously can also be a hindrance to the change that is happening, that is upon us. Now, my next live broadcast is not going to be until Sunday, August 5th. I'm going to be taking a hiatus over the next several weeks. So on Monday, August the 6th, we'll begin a water week, and I will definitely tell you all about that in the next live broadcast. Now, because I will not be broadcasting live next Sunday, I wanted to share about the full moon in Capricorn that's going to show up on Wednesday, the 27th, into Thursday, the 28th, because I think this is a pretty significant one. Usually the summer full moon seem to be really significant. I think one reason is because in this part of the world, the weather is such that we get to see them, whereas in the wintertime, they're more covered up. And so this full moon, and again, this information is coming from one of my favorite astrologers, Barbara Goldsmith, and you can easily find her on YouTube. And I can't remember the name of her website offhand right now, but definitely if you do Barbara Goldsmith horoscopes on YouTube, you'll get all of her stuff because she writes things, but she also does a video, many videos she does. So she says this full moon in Capricorn is going to be conjunct its ruler, Saturn, which gives us a wonderful opportunity to examine our use of time and how to implement boundaries and organize our life. And boy, we can all use that. She says over the next month, Cancer and Capricorn are prevalent also. So we are building up to a solar eclipse in Cancer on July the 12th. And solar eclipses are always pretty powerful energies. She says this brings up issues connected to your home, your family, your work, what you want to do in the world, and finding the balance between the two. And she asks these following questions. How are you structuring your life? How are you utilizing your time? Have you got too much stuff around you? Can you streamline your life? And three other important awarenesses that she shared that I wanted to give you is one, she says this is an opportunity to get rid of the things you no longer need. And that may include people in your life, where you need to let go of, she says, and where you know you need to let go of. People in your life, she says, where you need you need to let go of, where you know you need to let go of. And on a practical note, this is a good time to get rid of anything you no longer need. She says, keep in mind that stuff, psychic space as well as physical space, rather give away than hang on to something just in case. So again, making up excuses basically for holding on to things that we no longer need. You know, this time of the full moon, next week is a good time to really be cleaning out and letting some things go. The next thing she tells us is to remember to be gentle with ourselves because Moon and Sagittarius together can sometimes be a little harsh. It says things like, I'm not good enough. I could have done this. I could have done this or that, but I'm not ready. She says, try to become aware of whether or not you are being kind to yourself. So again, letting go of the judgment that we do to ourselves so unconsciously and to just really, when we become conscious of ourselves, beating ourselves up to stop it, to not do it. Do something that's nurturing and fun and loving. And then lastly, she talks about Saturn being in retrograde right now. And so old emotions from the past may come up for healing. She says, try not to maintain a stiff upper lip, which is what Moon Saturn may try to do. She says, instead, resolve to feel everything and to allow it to pass through you. And people who work with me individually know one of the things I'm always saying is the only way out of the pain is to sit in it, feel it, and let it go. And, of course, it does take some courage to do that, but again, this is a good time in next week if you've got some old stuff coming up to know that you can release it. You do not have to hold on to it. Wow. Wow, wow. So much with this full moon. So stay alert to it and remember, too, it's that, you know, getting clear about your time and use of your time and energy, and if you're holding on to things that are keeping you from really being in alignment with where you need to be at this point in your life. Thank you, Barbara. So let me give you an overview of tonight's program. I am going to do a review of the last two broadcasts for those who may be out there listening in for the first time. It'll kind of bring you up to a little speed. Because tonight, what I'm going to be talking about is a little challenging. It's definitely something that oh God, let's see, it's got to be almost 20 years ago when I first got introduced to this consciousness, I had a lot of resistance. I was just really like, really, really, you know. But as I have grown and healed, I really come to appreciate it. And so I wanted to make sure, since I'm talking about the road to divine love, that I would be talking about attachment and non-attachment and how non-attachment, how being not attached leads to divine love. And then, of course, I will definitely share a personal challenge with you to support these teachings tonight. Now, a book that I reference for this information is called The Path to Love by Deepak Chopra. And my opening quote that I used in my announcement for tonight's broadcast was this, or excerpted from his book. He says, countless people have experienced love as pleasure, sex, security, having someone else fulfill their daily needs without seeing that a special path has opened to them. Socially, the normal cycle of love is simply to find a suitable partner, marry, and raise a family. But this social pattern isn't a path because the experience of marriage and raising a family isn't automatically spiritual. Sad to say, many people enter lifelong relationships in which love fades over time or provides lasting companionship without growing in its inner dimension. A spiritual path has only one reason to exist. It shows the way for the soul to grow. As it grows, more of the spiritual truth is revealed. More of the soul's promise is redeemed. Wow. That's like really some really, really good stuff. But like I said, you know, for some of you, this is going to be a little challenging. It may be the first time you're hearing this about this other dimension that a relationship, not just between two people, but also between groups of people can have. And of course, I have been kind of talking about this from my first broadcast when I talked about this deeper side of love and relationships. So let me jump now and do that review, and then I will get into talking about attachment and how we can outgrow that so that we can really have an experience of deep and divine love in our lives. So I started off 2 weeks ago talking about divine love and what that is. And basically, it's relationships that are rooted in higher purpose and experience with higher consciousness. And, you know, in a nutshell, what that really means is that you're able to get it that it's not about you. You're able to get that the relationship is about more than just you having your needs met, that the relationship has a purpose, and that you get to choose to participate in that purpose. So this is going beyond pleasure seeking or survival. And I also said that pleasure seeking and survival relationships can grow into divine love, but divine love will never revert to pleasure seeking or survival. That's just not what it is. It just ain't what it is. So just on that fact alone, we can understand that getting to divine love is a developmental process. That's why I talk about it as a pathway, as a road, like a journey that we have to go on as human beings to get to that place where we're able to experience relationship in a higher purpose and with a higher consciousness. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not supposed to, but it's something we can aspire to. And, you know, you might be saying, like, yeah, Georgia Papa, like, why, you know, why do we need to know that? Why is that important? And so for anybody who's been in a long-term relationship, but or even if it's been a relationship that's only been, you know, 6 months to a year, at some point you're going to come up against some blocks. And the way that relationships that are able to sustain over a long period of time that are beyond, again, just, okay, I got a companion and I'm happy just as long as I know there's a warm body in the house when I get there, you know. But to really, where two people are able to actually live their lives in a very loving, non-attached way, you've got to grow in your understanding about what relationships can be. If you just keep it at the level of survival and pleasure seeking, you're going to hit the wall. You're going to hit some blocks. Yeah. And that's why, you know, we may hear about people who are together for like 25 years, 30 years, and then they separate, and a lot of people will be like, wow, what happened? How did that happen? How could that happen? I mean, they were together for so long. But again, when you hit that block, if you're not able to understand there's a way beyond, you know, that there's more, then, you know, of course you're going to make the decision to leave the relationship. And also, part of this developmental process that I'm talking about to get to divine love may require the separation. It may require two people going apart. So I also talked about why we need divine relationships, divine love in relationships. And again, as I was just saying, pleasure-seeking and survival relationships do not take us to our happy endings or fulfillment in life. We have to get to something more. So having higher purpose in relationship, why we need that is because it enables us to experience that fulfillment in relationships. It's the third element of a partnership. It's what binds the relationship together in the face of egoic fears, and personality disruptions generated by our pain bodies. And the pain body is any unresolved pain from our past. And if we don't know about that pain, then our pain body has all the permission it needs to just run our lives and keep us in a very fear-conscious in regards to ourselves personally, but also in regards to those that we are in relationship with. And that extends to, you know, parents and children. I can't tell you how many parents I have talked to and worked with who are victimized by their children. And I'm talking about even children under the age of 10. And so, you know, this is something that it goes on. It goes on. And that pain body is no joke. But if we can understand that it does exist and we have to work on putting it in its place, yeah, it's much better when that happens. But again, we need this higher purpose in relationship to really help get through the pain body disruption that is going to happen in every relationship because, you know, we all come with our pain bodies into relationship. And sometimes, many times, we don't even know the kind of pain body we have until we get in relationship. That's when it can become more manifest and we can see it much clearer. I also talked about opening our hearts to this higher purpose, this third dimension, third element, if you will, in partnership or in relationships of all kinds, whether it's work relationship, could be work related, could be familial, you know. And the first one is to open your heart. You have to let go of the pleasure seeking as a reason for the relationship. Next is you have to let go of making anyone but God, your God, responsible for your survival. And on the minute we make anybody else responsible for our survival, we're in trouble. We are really in trouble. We have to let go of needing to be rescued or to rescue, meaning no codependence. No codependence. You also open your heart to higher purpose when you're able to let in self-love and valuing of yourself. Sometimes you have to be alone to do that first before you can really share it in a relationship with somebody else. Also, letting in knowing your higher purpose, knowing your higher purpose, being really clear about what's in that sacred contract of yours, very, very important. And choosing to share your purpose with someone and being willing to support their purpose if it aligns with yours is really how we open our heart to this higher purpose. So a lot of letting go and letting in. I gave a personal challenge at the end of that first broadcast where I asked you to identify at least three couples that you believe demonstrate a divine love and to take note of the three ways in which you know this to be true. How do they live? Can you identify their purpose? But it's like, you know, when we're learning something new, we need to look at examples because they really that really helps us with the learning. And so I gave mention to Prince Harry and Duchess Meghan because clearly these are two people who have come together for a higher purpose, and they're conscious of that. They had to make some really tough decisions before they agreed to get married. And then the way in which they organize their wedding ceremony tells us a lot about their purpose because it was so inclusive in a way that no other royal wedding has ever, ever been. So they get it that they're, you know, supposed to be disrupting the status quo and the old traditions and do some healing for the British Empire based on all of the stuff they've done, especially during the 1800s. So anyway, that was just one example of how two people can come together for a higher purpose and, again, have a real, real consciousness of it. In the second broadcast, I talked about the neutral zone in divine love relationship and why this is so, so, so important. Neutral zone is an agreed upon time and space to silently only express love. It's an agreement to let go of judgment and experience forgiveness. It's about releasing the pain you took on from the other person or persons and really doing that because you know it's not serving you to be holding on to it. A neutral zone is a safe time and place to silently reclaim the truth and purpose of the relationship. So that's what I mean when I'm talking about a neutral zone in a divine love relationship. Now, what's not allowed in the neutral zone is no direct or indirect negative energy towards each other, right? So no resentment, no judgment, no hurtful comments or behaviors, no control drama or manipulation to try and get the other person or persons to see and agree with your perspective, no debating, no hoping your neutral stance will lead the other person to change his or her behavior towards you. You know, none of that. None of that attachment stuff. We're going to talk a little more about in just a minute. So a neutral zone, again, is just where you are willing and you're choosing to, you know, put down the gauntlet, you know, just like put down the arm, take off the armor. It's about being vulnerable and open to the experience of the love. And that's why it's important that there's no talking. It's just that coming together and silently expressing it. Now, why do we need a neutral zone? Because we have to transcend the victim consciousness and the negative conditioned responses that will emerge when, again, back to our pain body, when it's triggered. Creating a neutral zone will give you the opportunity to silently and compassionately experience the love between you or among you. The inability to create a neutral zone is evidence of attachment, but not love. The experience of the neutral zone will clarify the truth of the relationship. So this is like a treasure, you know, a treasure opportunity in relationships. To know that you can just stand in front of the other person and hug them without saying anything, and they can hug you without saying anything, And, you know, all of that pain just can get transformed. It can dissolve away. Now, this only works in a divine love relationship because you've got to have that higher purpose known about, agreed on. You know, it's got to be understood. It's got to be conscious. Because that's what's really enabling the neutral zone to exist, that you really get there's something valuable and important about this person being in my life, and I want to honor that. I want to appreciate it, you know, despite the human pain body behavior and responses. So I also talked about what being neutral. What does being neutral really mean? And I got this information from a really cool website called The Art of Embracing, theartofembracing.com. This person does work with people about getting to a neutral zone. And so I just want to read you a little paragraph from that. They said that when we're neutral at the personal or pattern level of being, we're free to express as we're moved to express in the moment. We're no longer responding to the moment in a preconditioned or patterned manner. We're present in this moment, responding to this moment. Our response is fresh, alive, originating in the moment. We're present. And I think that's so wonderful because that's living, you know. That's not survival. That's living, you know, to be at that level of vulnerability. And so that's what the neutral zone is really, really about. And the personal challenge that I shared from that broadcast was to practice being in the neutral zone with yourself first. And that's sitting or laying down and imagining yourself, confronting yourself with the intention to just be loving, to notice what thoughts or images first show up to disrupt that. Because, you know, you want to always be just a little conscious about, like, what's working in the background here. And you just listen and notice. You don't react. And if you practice this daily, right before going to bed, always with the intention of just loving yourself, no judgments, no put-downs, no negativity, just love, 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 you'll be more able to do this with another person. You know, this is like doing mirror work but without the mirror. So it really is about, you know, self-actualizing, really being able to unconditionally love and accept ourselves. So getting into our neutral zone first is really important. Now, we come to attachment because I made mention to it when I was talking about the neutral zone. So I definitely wanted to give you a little more information and understanding of it. Now, I first got hold of this information from the book, The Path to Love by Deepak Chopra in Chapter 5, where it says, is attachment really love? So I highly recommend this book for those of you who really are committed to learning and understanding how to have a healthy, fulfilling, and functional divine love relationship with another human being or a group of human beings. So let me start off with talking about what attachment is and why we do it. So attachment, in terms of what I'm talking about, it's born from fears of not being loved, of rejection, fears of loneliness, of loss, of humiliation, of pain. So attachment is born from fears. That's really, really important because right away that's saying attachment isn't love. So that latching on to someone or something, that achy, needy, longing energy, you know what I'm talking about. We all go through it from childhood into adulthood. That experience, that is not love. That is not love. Because attachment becomes control. Needing someone to be just like you, to conform to your needs and desires, to make you feel happy or whole, to be as you think they should be. Attachment, right? So born from fear, and it quickly morphs into control. Now, why do we attach? We attach because that's how we begin our physical existence. Right? We're all attached by an umbilical cord to our mom in her womb. So one of our first physical experiences as we are developing from a single cell, then a double cell to a zygote, you know, is this attachment, this physical attachment. We come into this being, into this dimension of 3D reality through attachment. So it's something that is essential to our existence, but it's something we're supposed to grow out of as we become introspective and self-actualized. It's something we're supposed to grow out of, okay? Again, it's definitely something that's supposed to exist so we can come into this world, and as children, you know, we all cling onto our parent or a caretaker. That's really important. That's what, you know, children are supposed to do that. But as we grow and develop, we're supposed to grow out of needing to do that. Why? Because we're supposed to grow into our own being. We're supposed to become personally sovereign. And, you know, when children between the ages of 2 and 3 say, no, I want to do it myself, they're in the beginning stages of learning non-attachment. So that means it's a natural developmental process. So what happens, right? How come the process can get stopped? How can it get stuck? And, of course, that all goes back to those experiences of neglect, abandonment, abuse in all of its forms. And that's what causes the rift, if you will, in our natural progression and development to non-attachment. Because here's the problem with attachment. Although it creates a sense of security, to maintain it, you have to control it, right? Because it's born out of fear. It's just born out of fear. The pleasure of any external attachment to another person, to money, to power, or work can change to pain suddenly and without warning. And this causes suffering. And, of course, two extreme cases we've just had has been Anthony Bourdain and Kathy Spade, who committed suicide. You know, these are people that we look on as, oh, they're successful, they have fame, they have fortune, they have wealth, you know, they can go where they want and do whatever they want to do. But clearly, their external attachments, their inability to really connect with the truth of who they were, what their higher purpose was, why they're here, led them to go down that road. So attachment is not going to save us from suffering. In fact, it will contribute to our suffering. Because there is no guarantee, you will unconsciously become controlling of whoever and whatever to which you become attached. I will say that one more time. Because there is no guarantee, that meaning that this person or this thing will last, you will unconsciously become controlling of whoever and whatever to which you become attached. And bottom line is, attachment is what deprives you of love. Because when you're in attachment, when you're doing attachment, you're in fear. And fear is not love. Let's be really, really clear about that. Now, again, this is some hard stuff to hear. This is not easy stuff to hear because, especially in American culture, we have given love the name for attachment. And we really think that doing attachment behaviors equals love. Like, oh, if you didn't love this person, you wouldn't be doing this. Very, very interesting. So to be able to understand what love really is and that it's not attachment can be a really new thing. Like I said, when I heard this 20 years ago, I was like, what? Nah. You know, but as I just opened myself up to learning, clearly I'd hit a wall, so I needed to learn something different. I began to see that, yes, 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 now I get it, now I understand. But again, it's a developmental process. It doesn't happen overnight. So how do you experience the opposite of attachment, which is non-attachment, which lets in love? Well, the first thing, of course, which makes sense, is you got to let go of your fears. Got to let go of your fears. And that takes some work. You also have to consciously connect to someone's soul because you're connected to yours. And you also have to clarify your purpose in life and your greater order and direction, you know. What's your connection to your God? Why is it that you're here? This is what gets you into non-attachment, because now you can focus on you and rely on you to be able to not have those fears. You're not making somebody else responsible for getting rid of the fears that only you can get rid of. There is a movie out right now called Deadpool 2, and also Deadpool comes into play. That's really, Marvel does a really good job of inserting these really powerful messages if you look for them, look through, you know, the humor and the violence, the animated violence that's in it. But one of the wonderful things that I think this movie does, and I love it how storytelling can do things without throwing it in our face, but it's there if you look, and that is that non-attachment nurtures love. And so one of the things is about choosing, allowing, and accepting. And this is what Deadpool's girlfriend, Vanessa, does when he shows up at the very end with his face all disfigured. And he's been afraid throughout the movie after that happened as to whether or not she would accept him or reject him. Well, it turns out that she accepts him. And she was able to look beyond the external and connect with his soul, that that's what was really important to her. It didn't matter that his face was disfigured. And that's what non-attachment is about. We don't allow what isn't really real to make the decision. Also, non-attachment is about imposing no demands. You don't impose demands for which only you can do for yourself, you know. Like, make me whole. Make me happy, make me trust you, you know. No, those are things that only you can do for yourself. Also, with non-attachment, it nurtures love when you're not taking pity on somebody, when you're not taking on somebody else's pain in any form. You know, because, again, that's codependency, right? Like, if I take on their pain, then they'll stay with me. That's attachment. No judgment, resentment, or transferring of your pain. You know, again, the other side of codependency. You know, this person is willing to take on my pain, and so I'll keep them around in some shape or form. Choosing to give the right support versus trying to change somebody. When you're non-attached, you focus on how can I support this person? And you know what? Sometimes it might be I need to leave. Like, I just really need to leave. Or it may be, wow, if I stay, I've got to shift out of a behavior that I'm doing that is causing that other person pain. So when I talk about support, I'm talking about right support versus trying to get that person to go along with what you think should be okay. You know, in non-attachment, you're able to practice patience, faith, and gratitude. And it's effortless. It's effortless when you are not attached. You're just able to say, wow, that person's got to go through, you know, it's their journey and they've got some stuff they got to go through. I love them and I will pray for them and, you know, keep the light on, but I understand they have to go through their journey. And it's not about you. Like, you're not going to play the martyr. You know, you're just able to say, hey, this is what has to happen. And you're able to have faith in the person when you're not attached, because you believe, you know, in the process of human evolution, and that people really do want to be the best versions of themselves. You also are grateful for being in the situation. You know, you're grateful because you get that the relationship has purpose and that whatever you're going through, you are learning and growing and healing from. You know, it's like you're able to have an appreciation and have this gratitude. And again, like I said, it's not an effort. It's like so easy to do when you're really not attached. Also, and I think really important, everything I just said on this list, you're able to do all of that for yourself. Like you're able to just allow, accept, and choose yourself. You don't need anybody else doing that for you. You don't impose demands on yourself that, you know, are impossible to do or that you shouldn't be doing. You know, you really want to be in alignment. You don't pity yourself and you don't take on even your pain. You don't go around accepting being a victim to life. You don't judge yourself. You don't resent yourself and you don't beat yourself up. You know, you don't transfer that pain onto yourself. You don't beat yourself up. And you choose the right support for you. How do I support me? What's right for me? Versus, you know, trying to change yourself into something that you really are not or don't need to be. And again, you're also able to practice easily patience, faith, and gratitude with yourself. Because the more non-attached you are, the more you can truly, truly love. The more you can truly, truly love. Wow. And again, we get to non-attachment first by, you know, you have to identify and accept those fears, and then you have to open up to learning how to let them go. So in other words, it's not okay to be jealous. It's not okay. You know, because right away you're comparing yourself to somebody else, even if they're imagined, and you're always going to come up short. So jealousy isn't like, this is a normal thing that I just need to do because I'm in a relationship with somebody. No, it's not okay. And you have to take on that fear and you have to learn how to let it go. You have to release that. And that's a tough one. That's not an easy one. But it's doable. It can be done. You can actually let go of jealousy and those other fears. Now, before the personal challenge, I do want to mention again, I highly recommend The Path to Love by Deepak Chopra. And another book that I really appreciate and like a lot, and I think it has some good, really good information. And I like it. It's done in a way that is simple and deep, which is what life is really about. And it's called The Mastery of Love, A Practical Guide to the Art of Relationship. And this is by Don Miguel Ruiz, who's probably most known for the Four Agreements. And this is ancient Toltec wisdom that he is sharing. And he talks about the mastery of awareness, then the mastery of transformation, and all of that leads to the mastery of love. So highly recommend it. Now, here's your personal challenge, and you got a good 5 to 6 weeks to do this because I'm not going to broadcast live again until August 5th. I want you to identify what you are most afraid of for yourself. What are you most afraid of for yourself? Then I want you to identify what are you most afraid of in relationship? Is it that the person's going to leave you? Is it that the person's going to turn into a monster? You know, whatever it is, what are you most afraid of in relationship? And then I'd like you to identify three ways that you can take on letting go of those fears and then begin to do that. So what are you afraid of for yourself? What are you afraid of in relationship? And three ways that you can let go of those fears and then take some steps to begin to do that. And if that means I need to go get some counseling or I need to get with a shamanic healer, go do that because it will be worth it on this road to divine love. And again, it's a process, it's a journey, and it's really, really worth it. And we have to get beyond pleasure seeking and our survival mentality if we're going to get to those happy endings, that fulfillment in life. So it's a choice that we can make, and we can do it. Definitely, definitely. Well, I'm going to close out tonight by first thanking my wonderful team of engineers from the family of Miss Yvette Parker and Jafaris Muhammad, and to the entire Black Hole Be Well family. Thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting my broadcast, supporting this work getting out. It's really important to me, and I'm just really, really grateful for your time and energy. Happy Eid to all of the Muslim friends who practice that and who have gone through that and come out on the other side. I think that that sacred holiday does a lot for our planet. So thank you all for participating in that. So such dedication. So it's very, very wonderful. To all my regular listeners out there, especially Miss Sarah, again, who continues to prove that life is what you make of it. She took me to the Ferris wheel the other week, just on a whim, and we got on the Ferris wheel. It was just fun, but that's her. She just proves it. Life is what you make of it. And to all of those who have wisdom walked with me, and you know who you are, to my family and spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters all around the world, and those who are listening in for the first time, thank you, thank you, thank you. I couldn't do this without your listenership. Now, again, next week, I begin a six-week hiatus, and I'll be rebroadcasting my best shows from January to June of this year. So do tune in for that recapping of what I have been talking about in this nature year. It'll be very, very supportive for you as we then turn and march toward this closing out of 2018 from August through December. Last but not least, I want to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides and loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. And another great thank you to my dear friend, Miss Carmen Petrie, for allowing me to broadcast in her wonderful apartment here and for turning off her air conditioner so I wouldn't be too cold while I'm broadcasting. See, that's a friend. That's what friends do for friends. So thank you, Carmen. I'm so grateful to you. I also wish you all a very happy and safe July. For many of you, it is vacation time. Woo! But remember to be safe, and most importantly, remember that you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now. Thank you.
I hope you enjoy Convergence, and thanks again for sharing this part of your lives with us. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.